This is Building Resilience Podcast, episode 206, Insights About Happiness.
Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Building Resilience Podcast. I know that for my American friends, it is Thanksgiving coming up, and I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and express my gratitude for everybody out there, whether you're celebrating American Thanksgiving or not. Express my gratitude for listening, for being here, for sending me messages, for leaving reviews. I so appreciate all those things. And I wish everybody a happy holiday season, because I know right after Thanksgiving, we are heading into many more celebrations and many more holidays. Now, not so long ago, I was talking with a friend about happiness and what it actually means, how to access it. And it is such an important topic, I decided it would be a great podcast episode. After all, it's a common thing for us to be striving for, or for our kids to strive for. What do you want in life? I just want to be happy. What do you want for your kids? I just want my kids to be happy. And what does that even mean? So, of course, I wanted to see what is some of the research that's out there. So we're going to be drawing on some of the research from two pioneers in this field, Ed Diner, often called the father of happiness studies, and then Robert Waldinger, who has been running one of the longest studies on adult happiness and well-being that has ever existed. Now, their work does challenge a lot of the common myths that we have about happiness, and it covers, like, what are the things that contribute to our happy, satisfying life? So let's dive in, and I'll share with you what I've learned. So the first thing that comes up, which may not come as a surprise to you, is happiness is truly all about perspective. Now, I say it may not come as a surprise to you if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, because I do talk about how our perspective is everything. In Ed Diner's research, he saw that happiness isn't about having this perfect life by some universal standard. Instead, it's how do you perceive your own life? And he calls it your subjective well-being. So basically, happiness is very personal and very unique to each of us. It's about feeling generally satisfied with the way your life is unfolding, and not necessarily ticking off the checklist of certain accomplishments or possessions, which of course may come along for the ride. But I think a lot of people think that our happiness is much more focused on our accomplishments and possessions, but it's not. We may think that, well, once I've achieved this or accomplished that, then I will be happy. But what the research shows is very subjective. And I do think it kind of makes sense. I'm sure we probably know two people with very similar lives. Maybe they have the same job titles or the same salaries, or they run in the same social circles. But one of them seems to radiate like a quiet contentment, and the other person is constantly complaining. So the difference then isn't the external circumstances in their life, but it really is how they choose to perceive and interpret their lives. And so the research does show that the key thing is trying to align your own life with what your personal values and priorities are. What is important to you? And are you living with that in the center of your life? So if family is the most important thing to you, then are you making time for your family? Do you prioritize spending quality time with them? If creative expression is something that brings you joy, do you set aside time to nourish that passion? So whatever it is, maybe it is a certain creativity, maybe it's a certain sport, maybe it's time that you spend. Are you prioritizing what you value most? Because it's the small decisions that will help you live in harmony with what matters to you most. again, this goes back to a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you the importance of micro habits, these small choices about what is important to you. This is what can make the biggest difference in your overall happiness and life satisfaction. It's about really being true to yourself. Now, the next thing that contributes to happiness, which again, hopefully you're not too surprised about because I've talked so much about it, is the power of connection. As humans, we are wired for connection. We need connection. We heal in connection. This is why my monthly membership is called Connections. So connection, they've actually seen, is the number one factor in long-term happiness and fulfillment. Most people would think maybe it's success or money or material possessions. But Robert Waldinger, who is a psychiatrist and professor who's been leading the world's largest study on adult happiness, started this study back in 1938. It's still ongoing today. And the research shows happiness isn't tied to money, fame, or achievements. It's tied to connections, real and meaningful relationships. People with strong, close connections are not only happier, they're healthier, and they live longer. So people who have these meaningful relationships feel less isolated and disconnected. So connection is key. Now, I don't think it's a far stretch for us to believe that. When you think about a time when you're struggling with something, think about your desire to connect with somebody. Maybe you're struggling and then you have a simple conversation with a friend or a family member that can completely turn your mood around. So small, genuine interactions can have a really profound impact, even if we don't consciously recognize it in the moment. We need connection, but that doesn't mean we need a huge social network. What the research has shown that it is more important for us to cultivate even a small, a few truly supportive, understanding relationships. Maybe that's with a partner or a friend or a close colleague, anyone that is supportive. And in this case, quality actually does matter more than quantity. So you can see why making time for connection in your life is so important. Even if it's just a quick touch point, connections are essential for our long-term happiness, our long-term health, our overall well-being. They provide us with a sense of belonging and emotional support that's going to help us through the ups and downs in life. Now, the next thing that has been researched all about happiness, and I found it really fascinating, is the idea that many of us do believe that more is better, that we need more, we want more, and if we had more, we would be happier. This is the idea that more stuff, more money, more status will somehow make us happier. Now, I'm not going to say that we don't get a little bump if we get something shiny new, especially like a new car or a bigger house. But the research has actually shown that after our basic needs are met, that happiness from material goods quickly fades. And I think it's like up to about making $75,000 is important. If we don't have enough to survive, then it does impact us. But after that, our level of happiness does not rise with an increase in income. Now, there's a concept that is called hedonic adaptation, which is the tendency for people to return to a baseline level of happiness after experiencing both positive or negative changes in their lives. So it's like an emotional reset after the thrill of a new job or a new relationship or even material things. Our happiness levels tend to settle back down to where they were before the change. So think of it as the reason why sometimes things that excited us, like we get this new phone or a big promotion, eventually will start to feel normal or even mundane. That new gadget that you're so excited for, it's just another thing that you own and the thrill is gone. And this is why lasting happiness can't typically come from external achievements or possessions alone. Real sustainable joy comes from practices that cultivate our inner sense of well-being, our inner resilience, like building strong connections or building gratitude and aligning our life with our values. Now, I'm sure that we have met people that we think they must be so happy because they seem to have it all. Maybe they've got the style, they live in an impressive home, maybe they just ooze confidence and success. But without meaningful connections or a sense of purpose, outward success can feel pretty empty and you can tire of it pretty quickly. Real happiness really does not come from those material possessions, but it comes from how deeply you feel aligned in the life that you're living. So instead of constantly chasing that next big purchase or the status symbol, we actually want to spend time investing in experiences that nurture relationships and reignite your passions. This means that they've also found that investing in experiences is part of happiness. And I love that they found that experience gives us greater satisfaction. Not only do you have the anticipation of the experience, but then you have the experience and then you have the memory of the experience. So maybe it's a weekend trip that you have coming up, or maybe it is a class that you're taking that taps into a skill that you've always wanted to learn. Focusing on an experience is what truly adds richness and meaning to your life. Experiences also give us the opportunity to connect with others, not just stuff that makes us feel good in the moment, but connection, which we know has the implications for our long-term happiness. Now, another crucial piece of this happiness puzzle, according to the research, is having that sense of purpose, that feeling that your life has meaning and that what you do matters. And I can actually see this in my own life. The good news, though, is purpose doesn't have to mean that you're out there saving the world or doing something grand and heroic. Research has shown that even like small acts of kindness and contribution can give us a sense of fulfillment and purpose. So maybe it is being a loving parent, raising kids, supporting a friend in need, or doing work that makes a real difference in the lives of others, even in a small way. Now, you can do something more grand if you want to. You can have bigger dreams. Go for it, for sure. But you don't have to have big, flashy dreams or do big gestures or make massive changes. It truly is about the daily choices that you make to connect with, support the people around you that can give you purpose. We know that people who feel like they're part of something larger than themselves, whether they feel like they're part of family or community or a work environment, the research shows that they do tend to be happier and more satisfied overall. They're at less risk for burnout. Now, this is something that we talk about in my advanced training and my Connections membership, the importance of having and creating a mission statement, knowing your values, understanding you. I call it realigning your compass. Where are you going and why are you going there? Because having that sense of purpose gives you a reason to get out of bed every morning, even on the tough days. And I think that's why when people are going through tough times, it is helpful to have a why to keep going. If I think back on how I felt during my divorce, my why was my little boys. Life needed to continue as per usual. Even though I wanted to desperately just stay in bed and hide under the covers, I had to get up and feed my boys, and I had to go to work, and I had to have that purpose. And that purpose of taking care of them was my why. Again, the beautiful thing about purpose is it's not a one-size-fits-all. It can look different for each person based on your own individual values and talents and life circumstances. The key is for you to tune in and notice those moments when you feel most alive, when you feel like that glimmer of joy, when you feel connected to something that is greater than yourself. These are cues and clues that are pointing you to your deeper sense of purpose. So think about the little ways that you can add more meaning and contribution to your everyday life. Maybe you're going to volunteer or just help a neighbor, or make it a point to just express genuine gratitude to the people around you. These small acts of kindness and connection will have a much bigger impact than you probably realize. All right, let's shift gears a bit and talk about the little things that we can do to try to cultivate more happiness and well-being in your life. Because again, it's not about making these big dramatic changes. It's the small, regular habits that can really transform the experience that we have in our life. Happiness is actually a skill that can be learned. It's not a destination that we're going to casually end up at. It does take some effort. We have to cultivate ongoing practice of habits and attitude. Now, one of the most powerful habits that can really boost our happiness, in my opinion, is practicing gratitude. They have found that people who regularly take a moment to appreciate the good in their lives, even the little moments, will tend to feel more positive, more resilient, and more satisfied overall. So something just simple like jotting down three things that you're thankful for each night can actually make a difference in shifting your whole mindset. Another habit that can be hugely impactful is making time, even if it's just for a quick check-in, with the people that matter to you most. Now, that decade-long study really did show that prioritizing meaningful connections is key to not just our happiness, but to our health. So don't underestimate the power of a phone call or a simple text to somebody that you care about. And what I love about these kind of habits is they are accessible to all of us. So this is, again, coming back to the topic of micro habits. They don't require a huge lifestyle change or a major sacrifice. It's just a little bit of a consistent effort to shift our mindset and priorities over time. And this payoff can be tremendous in terms of boosting our overall being and life satisfaction. So there you have it. What contributes to lasting happiness and fulfillment is not about perfection or accumulating more stuff or having more, more, more. It's about aligning our lives with what matters most to us, with our values, to nurturing our relationships, to connecting with others, connecting with nature, connecting with the higher power, and finding purpose in the everyday. So happiness truly is within reach for all of us. Small daily choices that we make, the micro habits that we introduce. So I want to encourage you to try one of the habits that we talked about, whether it's a gratitude practice, reconnecting with a loved one with a little touch point, finding a small way for you to make a difference every day. Because these little steps can really add up to a more fulfilling life. I hope you found this helpful. I'll see you next time. Enjoy Thanksgiving if you're in the US. And overall, let's all try to be a little bit more grateful in our everyday life because we know it will contribute to our overall happiness.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.